We're going over to James chapter 4 this morning in your Bible. And as we do that, I didn't do this last Sunday, but I want to do it today. I've been reminded all week as I got ready for this morning that last Monday we did celebrate Veterans Day. And we didn't take an opportunity last Sunday to ask our veterans to stand so we could just appreciate them and say thank you. And I really do appreciate those of you that are veterans. I turned 18 right at the end of the Vietnam War. My draft number was 18, the year Mr. Nixon ended the draft, for which I was very thankful. And I'm not a veteran, but I sure do appreciate those of you that are. And I would just like to maybe give you a round of applause and say thanks. If you're a veteran, would you stand just so we can recognize you and just say thank you. Christians of all people should know that liberty comes at a price, and that price is very high. James chapter 4 and verse 1, which is what kept you veterans that I neglected last Sunday on my mind all week. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Let's pray. Father, we do love you, and as we look at this issue of war, the war that rages in us, the war that rages among us, the war that rages in the world, I just pray, God, that you'd help us to get to the root of it, and the root of it is the hearts of men. And Lord, that we would seek out in our own heart the lust that causes the war, and Lord, that you would help us to confess and forsake those lusts, that we might not have these wars, at least among us. I know that there will be no peace in the world until the Prince of Peace comes. And I know the world is always looking for peace some manly way or some organizational way. And Lord, I know that peace requires righteousness, and that's the biblical standard. No peace without righteousness. And I pray, God, that you would just help us as a people to turn our hearts to righteousness, so at least there's peace among us. We will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. War, what is it good for? Absolutely. Thank you. I was trying to find out. It took me a minute to remember who sung that song. It was Edwin Starr. Y'all remember Edwin Starr? War, huh? Some of you that weren't in the round in the 70s don't remember it. And he asked the question, what is it good for? And it's good for absolutely nothing. At least that was his answer. Didn't we just sing that God is the God of war? I thought we just sang something like that. There are righteous causes for war. Sometimes you just have to go to war. But JFK, who was not John F. Kerry, it was John F. Kennedy, said mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind. And, you know, he was right, except he was wrong in his solution. We've been studying in the book of Revelation, except the Lord comes, unless the Lord comes back, there's going to come a day that man will, in fact, eradicate man from the face of the earth. And the only thing that stops that from happening is the intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ. JFK said, mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind. Now, JFK was pursuing war at the time he said that. You know, he was sending troops into that place called Vietnam that I've already mentioned. So since he said that, we have fought, and I may have forgotten one. Maybe if you're a veteran, you'll remember something that I've forgotten. We've, since Vietnam, fought in Grenada, Panama, the Balkans. There was Gulf One. There was Somalia. There was Afghanistan. And there was Gulf Two. Did I forget anything? It was just off the top of my head. Those are the wars the United States have been involved in, at least the overt wars that we've been involved in since JFK said we must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind. The simple truth is man is not capable of stopping war. And like I said, until Jesus Christ comes, there will be war. Until the Prince of Peace comes and sets up a kingdom of righteousness, there will be war. And that's clear in the Bible. But this first verse here asks, from whence come wars? Where do wars come from? And it even answers the questions. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Where do wars come from? I read a lot of war books and watch a lot of documentaries on war. I know Mr. Roshan here also does the same thing. We read a lot of the same things. But I know World War II. I've read a lot on World War II. The fact is, Japan in World War II saw itself, the people of Japan, the leaders of Japan, saw themselves as a higher race, a people of gods, a people descended from the gods. They saw themselves as a people that deserved to rule. They saw themselves as a people that were kind of confined on this little island, and they needed room to grow and expand. They needed to get the natural resources. So Japan was at war for 10 years before they ever attacked the United States. They had been raping China. It's well known. So they just thought they were a people of gods, and they deserved to rule Asia and the Pacific, and they set out to do that. Germany in World War II, as you all know, Hitler saw himself as a higher race, the Aryan race. He thought he deserved to rule the world. The question here, though, is where do wars come from among you? It's not talking about where do wars come from in the world. It's talking about where do wars come from among us. War is enmity. Enmity is hatred. War is hostility, contention. Usually it's seen as conflict between nations, but the question here is, where does the conflict come? Where does contention come? Where does enmity come from among you? And I know where it is. It's sports.
Yeah.
Okay, let's repent. Okay. I went to the odd. Now, it was another good day at Just Ball yesterday. I don't think we had any strong contentions at Just Ball yesterday. But after Just Ball, I went to watch the men's soccer last night. Whew! Was there contention at that? Those guys played. Neil wasn't in the game I watched. But he was in the game afterwards. But these guys, you would have thought, they're playing, what, 5-on-5? In a roller rink in Barrow, Alaska. Okay? This isn't big. You would have thought they were playing for the World Cup. I mean, the contention that took place after the game. My wife and I sat there. This poor guy across the street, I guess he's the chiropractor. I haven't met him yet, but he was the ref in the game. And there was no respect for the stripes in that game. Boy, they tore that guy up. And at first, the losing team tore him up. And when the losing team got done with him, the winning team tore into him even worse than the losing team. And he sat there going, they won. What are they giving me a hard time about? Where do wars and come from among you? It's contention, it's enmity, it's hostility. And then it answers the question, come they not hence? Come they not hence? Don't they come from here? And you know what rhetoric is? Rhetoric is when you say something to prove a point. And this is a rhetorical question. Where do wars come from among you? Come they not hence? There's an obvious answer here. And it's not sports. Sports isn't the obvious answer. The rhetorical question drives home a point. And the point is, the war, it says here, comes even of your lust that war in your members. War comes from the lusts that war in our members. And we talked about lust back in chapter 1. If you'll go back there with me just for a second. In chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When it is finished, bringeth forth death. And we preached a four-part message back there on that lust. We said, first of all, that lust is desire. The desires we have and seeking to have those desires met outside of God's way. We all have natural desires. We all have natural needs. When we desire to have them met outside of God's way, it's lust. And then that lust leads to deceit. We fool ourselves into thinking we can get it some other way. Leads to disobedience, and that leads to death. Where do those lusts come from? Well, we are drawn away by our own lust as we are tempted. We are tempted. You see, something from the outside world plays on our eyes or our ears, on our emotions, and that tempts us. But it can only tempt us because of the lust that's already in our heart. See, temptation just plays on what we already are. And we are drawn away by our own lust. Lust is us trying to have our desires met outside of God's way. And we all have the same natural desires. We all desire to be loved. Is there anybody in here who does not desire to be loved? You're just a loner. You hate people. You don't want anybody to love you. Anybody in here like that? Outside of Amber? No, Amber's not even like that. She talks like that, but she's not like that. Everybody desires to be loved, don't you? And Yeah, everybody wants to be loved. And there's the mom and dad relationship, and then you grow up, and every woman is looking for Mr. Right, and every man is looking for Miss Right. I said that as politely as I could. And the problem with that is that people go seeking to have that love met outside of God's ways. You see, God has set a way for those need, that need for love to be met. But when people seek to have it met some other way, they've stepped into lust. They step outside of the premarital sex. Let's get honest here. That's outside of God's way. You can't have love met that way. You're going to make a mess out of your life. Homosexuality. Am I going to bash that? No, I'm just saying that's a way that people seek to have God's need for love that has been instilled in them outside of God's way, and it leads to death. It ultimately leads to death. So everybody needs to be loved. Everybody needs to be accepted. Everybody wants to be needed and accepted. And God has set up ways for those needs to be met. There's acceptance in the Christ. That's where you get your ultimate acceptance, your ultimate self-esteem, your ultimate fulfillment of your gratification in life is knowing that you're important to Christ. There's no other way to have that met. You are important to Jesus Christ. But people seek to have that met outside of God's way, the love for it, or the need for acceptance. Fly? The need for acceptance. So they join a gang, or they join a cult. But God has set up ways. God has set up family. You know, that's where people, young people, find out what acceptance is. They need a mom and a dad that accept them. And we are fighting that in this town. A mom and a dad. We talk all the time. One of the reasons we do Just Ball is to try to get moms and dads in the seats watching their kids. So they know that mom and dad love them and accept them. Some of us went to the volleyball game on Friday night, and you may not have known what my wife was talking about when she gave her blessing. Serena's on the varsity volleyball team. She's not a starter. She never played the game before this year, so it's cool that she's just on the team. But Friday, this weekend, was her last home game. And the seniors recognized the parents, and it was cool. There's five seniors on the team, so they call down the parents, and they say nice, lovey things. I think I have Serena's speech memorized. I don't want to embarrass my mom and dad with a lovey speech, so thank you. Something like that. It was something like that, which was cool. But, you know, the senior said, thanks, mom and dad, and we love you, things like that. But out of those five, there were two there that didn't have mom and dad there. And one of them, their mom and dad are usually there. They're almost always. They come to the basketball games. Her brother works or plays in Just Ball. But they're usually there. And they were just out of town on this occasion. But even that, you could tell, kind of affected her, that they weren't there for this. And then there was another one who, I've known this girl since I've been in Barrow, and I don't know who her mom and dad are. I know the name, I know the family, but I have never seen mom and dad. And she got up and she gave this big speech and she said, my mom and dad couldn't make it tonight. And then she picked out two other girls on the team. So these two girls are going to fill in for my mom and dad. And she gave this big speech and hugged them and said, and made the whole thing funny, and then went in the locker room and cried like a baby. Senior in high school. You know what, mom and dad? Don't quit on your kids when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Senior in high school is still crying because mommy and daddy weren't at the game for her. She doesn't feel accepted. God invented the family for people to learn acceptance. God invented the church for people to feel accepted. But people look in, you know, they don't find that acceptance home. Why do kids join gangs? Hi. Acceptance. They want to be accepted. They want to be loved. They want to feel like they're part of something. And then the third need we all have is purpose. We all look for purpose in career, in money, but you have to have these needs met in God's way. That personal lust that we all have in us oftentimes manifests itself in envy, which is what we're talking about here. The verse we didn't read is the next verse. In verse 5 of James 4, it says, do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? That personal lust in us manifests itself in envy. And envy is simply this: you have something that I don't have, I want it. You have something, I don't have it. I don't think you should have it. I think I should have it, so I want it. And that's what envy is. I want it, I don't have it, I think I'll take it, even if it's yours. And that's where war comes from. I don't have it, I want it, I think I will take it. In verse 2 here it says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. These verses show us the utter futility and the danger of seeking to have your desires met outside of God's way. They show the utter futility of seeking to have your desires met the ways of the world. Personal lust gets you nothing. Gets you nothing. Because personal lust is seeking to have your needs met outside of God's way. Ye kill and desire to have, ye cannot obtain. People murder to have their desires met. People murder to have their lust met, yet they are never satisfied. I was talking to one of our Bible Institute classes this week about Ted Bundy. If you don't know Ted Bundy, guy that he was convicted of killing 23 women, probably killed maybe 50. He had an insatiable desire. Has anybody ever seen his last night confession with James Dobson? Have you seen it? I tried to order the tape this week just because so many people haven't seen it. Night before he's going to be executed, he gave an interview to James Dobson from Focus on the Family. And we're going back 15 or 20 years now. And in that interview, he was asked flat out, how did you get in that mess? I mean, where did it start? And dads and moms, do you know where it started? Do you know where it started? He ended up killing, raping and killing maybe 50 women. Viciously. Do you know where it started? He says when he was maybe 11 or 12, in his neighborhood there were stores and things that threw out pornography. And he and his friends would find that stuff, and that's where it started. And then from there it always had to be bigger and bigger and more and more and more, and they found violent pornography, and it always had to be more and more and more. And then Dobson asked him, well, how long was it you were looking at this stuff before it actually played out in action? He said, well, it was a couple of years that I thought about it. I thought about killing before I actually did. A couple of years. But then I actually did. And he killed. And he's doing this to satisfy a lust. The lust is insatiable. The lust will never be satisfied. Those people, once they get into that, they kill and they kill and they kill and they kill and they kill until they are caught or they're killed. True? Do you know, Mom and Dad, you let your kids go on the internet when you're not around? Do you know what kind of stuff you can find on the internet very easily? You all know it because you've probably gotten emails. Here, check this out, check this out. You all know it. Do you know what we're raising in this country? We are raising a nation of Ted Bundys. That's a little extreme what you're saying there. I don't think so. He told you how it was started. I can't believe anybody watched that interview. Anybody watched that interview and then said, well, it's just freedom of speech. It's protected by the Constitution. You can't find that protected by the Constitution. We're raising a nation of Ted Bundys. Lock your doors, folks. Lock your windows. Granny, get your gun. Whatever. And protect your family. And by the way, protect your family from the inside. We have a computer in our house. It's in our living room. If you allow your kids a computer with internet access in their bedroom, you are crazy. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. I'm just saying, you don't know what they're getting into. If you don't watch that stuff carefully, you don't know what they're getting into. Ted Bundy told us where it started with him, and he was never satisfied. You kill and desire, you have not, you cannot obtain. People murder to have their desires met. Hirohito thought he was a god. He wanted the resources of Asia. Kill. Hitler. Do you know they tried to appease Hitler? Remember, some of you don't remember how World War II, how we got involved, or how London, England got involved. But Neville Chamberlain was the Prime Minister of England at the time. Hitler was making moves to war. Neville Chamberlain goes over and he makes this agreement. The Munich Agreement, I think it was. And he says, he signs this piece of paper, Hitler did, says, you just give me this little piece of Czechoslovakia and I'll be happy. I'll leave everything else alone. He gets it signed. Chamberlain comes back to England. We have peace. We've given this up, but we have peace. It was about 5 minutes later that he took the rest of Czechoslovakia. 10 minutes later, he took Poland. And it was not too much later that he's bombing London. He wasn't appeased. You cannot appease insatiable lust. You cannot appease lust. Ye fight in war, ye have not. through all of their personal effort, through all of your personal effort, to the point of fighting and killing, we don't get our desires met. And it tells us why. In verse 2 there, ye fight and ye have not. Ye lust, ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have, cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. You know how you get your desires met? You ask. You ask. Who do you ask? My mom and dad. No, you ask God. You have desires, you want them met. Go to God. Go to God. I want to be loved. Take it to God. I want to be accepted. I want to feel part of something. Take it to God. God, I want to feel like I have purpose in my life. Take it to God. If you don't, you're seeking to have your desires met some other way, and they will never, never be met. You know, people probably, Bill Gates, I think he's back up to 60 billion. I'm feeling good for Bill because he was down to 40 billion or so there for a while. He's back up to 60. I was a little worried about him. Well, he was at 120 or so at one time. So, you know, down to 40. Whew. Things were tight. Little spending change had gone out the window. But I feel good for him. Do you think he'll ever be satisfied with however big his bank account is?
No.
I don't think so either. I know he won't be, because the Bible tells us that he won't be. Man must go to God to have his desires met. Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Let me read another one. This is Bill Gates. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. Now, you folks that are after the American dream, I want to have my first million in the bank. I'm going to warn you, you will not be satisfied. I mean, inflation. It's going to take you 10 years to get that first million. Inflation's going to wipe out half of it. You're going to have to work another 10 years because you're going to need 2 million to make up for the million. You're never going to be satisfied. You cannot satisfy the need for love, acceptance, purpose outside of God. The whole world is crazy because they're trying to do it. But it cannot be done. Psalm chapter 17. Let me read a verse back there. Psalm chapter 17. Down in verse 15. It says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. There's your satisfaction. You will be satisfied when you awake with God's likeness. Even Christians. You know, you Christians, you were told that everything would be hunky-dory once you trusted Christ. Everything would be, you'd always feel fulfilled, you'd always feel satisfied, you'd always feel content, you'd always have the peace of the Lord. Isn't that how your life is? You're always happy and satisfied? No? What's wrong with you? Everybody at the altar this morning. What's wrong with you people? What's wrong is we're still stuck in this world. We will be satisfied when we awake with His righteousness. See, we're not completely righteous. No righteousness, no peace. You ever feel unsatisfied? You folks that sit here every day going, whoo, like me this week, winter's coming on. It got below zero this week. The sun's going to set. We're not going to see the sun for 67 days. I don't know if I'm ready. Are you ready? You feel sad. Did anybody else have little pangs this week? Like, oh man, winter's here. Palm trees, sand, someplace else. Never satisfied. You know, I'm saved. I got a great family. Love my family. I don't have a material care or need in the world. I got a warm house to get me outside of it when it's cold. I got lights I can turn on in my house. I don't have a need in the world. And I'm not satisfied. I will be satisfied when I awake with His righteousness and not until. Psalm 37. Let me read one more. Psalm 37. Down in verse 6. Says this, as soon as I find it. It's verse 7, excuse me. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the water of thy pleasures. Then I'm going to be satisfied when I'm drinking of the waters of His pleasures. This side of glory, there is no satisfaction, but the closest you can come true satisfaction in this life is trusting God to meet your needs for love, your needs for purpose, and your needs for acceptance. You need to have those met in God. Where do wars come from? They come from the lusts within us. And then James asks us, or tells us in verse 3 there, of James chapter 4, it says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Sometimes we ask, "Lord, please satisfy this need," but we're not asking for the right purpose. We're asking to consume it upon our lusts. We're not asking for a spiritual reason. We're asking because we're selfish, because we want to consume it. You know, Bill Gates probably prayed for the extra $20 billion because he was a little concerned about his bank account. Personal pleasure. And we live in a consumer society. I mean, we are the most consuming people in the history of mankind. And life is all about me consuming. Consume, 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 consume. What did you consume today? I don't know. What did you consume today? What are you going to consume for dinner? What are you going to consume for lunch? We consume. You go on the internet, you shop, you consume. We're consumers. Let's consume something. What a monster we've got, consuming. We consume it upon our lust. Then look what it says here. And this is, the question here was, where do wars come from among us? Where do wars come from among us? In verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Now, would a Christian ever be called the enemy of God? The context here is, where do wars come from among you? Would a Christian ever be called the enemy of God? There are times when we ask for a simple selfish reason. We ask for personal pleasure, and we are called adulterers and adulteresses. Now, adultery is a physical act. It's the physical act of violating your marriage vows. I believe the word fornication in the Bible is, fornication is generally any sex outside of marriage. But I believe sometimes they're interchangeable in the Bible. Okay? Adultery and fornication. The church, the believers, have been called into a marriage relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a We're going to be wed one day. We're engaged right now. One day we're going home to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are engaged, betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's looking for a bride without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. That's the kind of bride He's looking for. But where do wars come from among you, ye adulterers and adulteresses? When we say that a husband is unfaithful to his wife, what do we mean? When we say that a wife is unfaithful to her husband, what do we mean? Well, they gave their love that was due only for their spouse to somebody else. And usually we mean it's the physical act, but it's more than just the physical act. Jesus Christ raised the bar on that. He said, if you think in your heart and lust after the woman, you've committed adultery with her already. But it's more than just when you give love due for only your wife. You are committing to somebody else, you're committing adultery. When the church gives its love to things of the world that is due only to Jesus Christ, we are committing spiritual adultery. You look at people, you say, well, they're pretty faithful. We talk about Christianity that way. Well, they're pretty faithful. When we talk about husbands and wives, we say they're faithful. That means they don't break their marriage. They love each other, and they give that love only to each other. They're faithful. When we talk about Christianity, we say, oh, they're faithful. Well, they go to church, and they read their Bible once in a while. It's more than that. Faithfulness as a Christian is not giving the love due only Jesus Christ to the things of the world. When we give our love to the things of the world, we are being unfaithful to the one we are betrothed to. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, where do wars come from among you? Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, he is the enemy of God. What should a Christian's attitude be towards the world and the things of the world? And I just want to look at a couple of verses and I'll be done. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2 verse 15 says this, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Not of the world, or not of the Father, but of the world. What do we lust after with our eyes? What do we lust after with our flesh? How do we get proud and haughty? Because when we get those ways, we're being unfaithful to God. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. Gospel of John, chapter 17. What's our attitude towards the world? Down in verse 9. Jesus is praying for his apostles. He says this, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Jesus is, the night before he goes to his death, he's praying for his apostles. And you'll see here that the prayer goes down to us. Watch how it goes. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that's Judas Iscariot, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Jesus' prayer for us is not that we're taken out of the world, but that we'd be preserved, we'd be kept from evil. In verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're not of the world. We sang Beulah Land. I'm kind of homesick. You know, you have Hebrews 11:16 talks about a country that we are from. I'm thankful to the veterans. I'm an American citizen, but I'm also the citizen of a heavenly country. And one day I'm going home. I'm not of the world. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy word, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And it goes on to talk about that. We are to be set apart from the world by the truth. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't measure ourselves by the world. We measure ourselves by the truth. Sanctify them means separate. Separate them by thy word. Thy word is truth. Let me show you one more in 2 Timothy. And this one just pops in because it just happened to be in my reading, my Bible reading this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 4, says, No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Don't get all tangled up with the things of this life. We've been called to be soldiers, but it's a heavenly warfare we've been called to. What separates us from the world? And very simply, Jesus said in John 17:17, Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. It is the truth of the word of God that separates us from the world. We are called to live by the truth, not by some worldly standard. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, you've been born again. You've been called to walk by faith, not by sight. Problem is, it's easy to walk by sight. You know, I have this need. I need to have this thing met. And it didn't come in the mail today, so I'm going to go on the internet tonight and I'm going to charge it, and it will be met tomorrow. I have this need. It has to be met. And my wife isn't meeting it, so I'm going to... I have this need. It has to be met. I'm not going to trust God for it. I'm going to find a way to do it myself. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. They're not of God. They're not of God. We have a heavenly calling. We're from a higher place. Where do wars come from among us? Very simply, we lust. We all have those needs. We don't pray when we have those needs. We don't ask God to meet them. We try to meet them ourselves. I'm going to do it. You know, and sometimes we think we have needs that aren't needs at all. I said, I don't have a need or a care in the world. If you were to say, ask me, if I could get you one thing you need, what do you need? Maybe my wife could think of something I need, but I honestly can't think of one thing that I need. Can you think of one thing? If you sat down and said, I cannot live without this, I must have this. Is there anything? What are we always after more for? What are we so consumed with making myself feel good for? What are your needs? We lust. We don't pray. We put our desires ahead of God's desires. We want the things of the world more than we want a relationship with God. And that's what it all boils down to. See, we've been called to a relationship with God. And that relationship, He says, I will meet your needs if you will trust me. And we say, well, I'm not sure I trust you. I've got this MasterCard. It's got a $20,000 credit line. I can get anything I want. Why should I trust you, God? I'll take care of it. Just stay in heaven. Don't invade my privacy. I'll get it. No problem. I have this need. It needs to be. I want to have it met. God says, young lady, young man, I've got somebody perfect just for you. Just be patient. You're not ready for this person yet. You just be patient, and I'll bring them to you. Well, I'm not sure I'm going to wait, God. I'm going to try this one on for size, and next week I'm going to try that one on for size, and I'm going to try this one on for size. And you don't wait on God, and you try to have your needs met outside of God's way, and you make a mess. You have those lusts, those desires that want to be fulfilled. Trust God. Take them to Him. You have not, because you ask not. And sometimes when you do ask, it's only to consume it upon your lust. It's only to fill that I want. I got to have. God knows what you need. His grace is sufficient for thee, by the way. He knows what you need. We need to come to a place where we are not unfaithful to Him. Marriage relationship is all about faithfulness, trust, giving love only to that one that it's due. Relationship with God, faithfulness, is all about love and trust, giving our love only to the one whom it is due. When we seek to have that love, that need for love, met some other way, some worldly way, we're spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. We're unfaithful to God. Jesus Christ died for me and for you so we might have eternal life. And not only that, but we might understand and have purpose in this life. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, chances are you're still looking. You got this emptiness, this void. And you're not quite sure what it is. You tried drinking, you tried drugging, you tried sex, you tried a career, you tried money, and it's just, what is it that's missing? I'll tell you what's missing is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And He wants to fill that void for you. But the truth is, Christian, you'll admit, you're just not completely satisfied. I don't know, it's this edginess, this edge in me. I'm just not completely content. And chances are you won't be this side of glory. But seek to have those needs met in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we don't, we're bringing disobedience and death on ourselves. Let's pray, and I'll be done. We love you, Lord, and pray you'd forgive our adulteries, our loving things of the world more than we love you. And I'm sure, Lord, just knowing me, I'm guilty, and I'm sure each and every one of us in this room can think of a time where we just didn't put you first. We had a need. We wanted it met. We didn't want to meet it your way. We thought we could do it, so we didn't ask, or we asked to consume it upon our lusts. We trusted the world instead of trusting you. We did it the world's way instead of doing it your way. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful as Christians, that we would give that love due you only to you. Where do wars come from? Lord, we know they come from the lusts that dwell in our hearts, and we seek to have and we have not, and people even go to the point of killing to get their needs met, even the point of envy to have their needs met. Help us, Lord, as a people, Lord, to fill those hearts, fill our hearts with righteousness, to be faithful to you, Lord, and as we're faithful to you, Lord, to find peace among ourselves, not war, but peace among us as a group, as a church. And Lord, we love you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.